Adventures in Research. March 12, 1888. That day started much as any other. But before it had ended, millions of New Yorkers pronounced it the most memorable day of their lives. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science, produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the story of March 12, 1888, in the largest city in the world. A city that was soon to be literally buried alive. Let us look in on that morning of March 12, 1888, while Mr. and Mrs. Knickerbocker stand at their windows and watch the gentle rain.
Rain, rain, rain.
What's that, Neil?
Martha, I didn't hear you come in.
You were so preoccupied looking out the window.
Watching that consigned rain.
Hush, Neil, watch your language. Remember, it's Sunday.
Oh, sorry. But there go all of our plans. Here I thought we could get over to Mother's today.
Well, what can't be changed must be accepted. So just stop fretting about the rain. After all, it takes the rain to make the pretty flowers grow.
The one day we have to ourselves to plan something, and what happens? Now, I ask you, what happens?
Now, Neil, no sense in getting yourself all worked up over what can't be helped. We can have a lovely Sunday right here at home. We have the stereopticon slides. We haven't looked at those all month. And I would like to see the pictures of Niagara Falls again. Besides, this gives me a good chance to work on my Easter dress. After all, it isn't many weeks away. And you could read your book on the Great War of the Rebellion.
I don't want to look at pictures of Niagara Falls. I don't want to read a book. I want to do what we planned. Go over to Mother's and afterward to Delmonico's for dinner.
Well, we're not going out in this rain, Neil. That's all there is to it. My, oh my, you're acting like a spoiled baby.
Maybe it'll stop. Seems to be letting up. Now, I'll take a look and see.
Whatever in the... Shut that window, honestly. Now look what you've done. My lace curtains are soaked and blown all topsy-turvy.
Oh, I didn't know it was blowing so. Hey, look at it. Yeah, that is quite a wind. Oh, look, that chap lost his bowler.
Oh.
There it goes. Oh. There he goes after it. Oh, it went right under the buggy wheel.
Oh, the poor man. My, such a wind. You'd better check the shutters upstairs, Neil.
Oh, that was funny. Poor simpleton, going out on a day like this, serves him right getting his hat squashed.
And you better go out and make sure the shed door is fastened. A wind like this, no telling what might happen.
Now, Martha, don't go getting uneasy. Honestly, least little bitty storm, you women get all upset. It's nothing at all, just a little rain and a bit of a wind. March winds, you know. You women carry on, you think we're in for a hurricane.
Well, the wind is getting stronger, I can tell that. And I don't want the shutters banging.
Honestly, Martha, it's just a little breeze. It'll blow over. Look, right here in the paper. See what the weatherman says? Where's that fool weather report? Oh, yes, here we are. Showers in early afternoon with moderate winds, clearing by late afternoon or evening. Now, see?
I don't care what it says in the paper. I can hear with my own ears, can't I?
That's right. That's right. Ignore science. The weatherman is paid to tell what the weather's going to be, but no. You can tell him what it'll be. When he says moderate winds, he means just that. Moderate. Nothing to get to... Now, what's that infernal racket?
Oh, the upstairs shutter is torn loose.
It had begun as an ordinary spring rain. Raw, cold rain, but still spring-like. Then as the wind increased in fury to a speed of 40 miles an hour, the mercury began to drop. Late evening found a few fuzzy flakes of snow in the air, tossed helter-skelter by the wind.
But it can't possibly snow. Why, it'll melt as soon as it hits the pavement, Martha. What do you say I call a cab and we go to Delmonico's anyway?
I tell you, Neil, it's snowing outside.
Martha, what do you know about weather? It's just a flurry. Won't last more than an hour.
Neil, what time is it?
The hall clock struck 2.
What are you doing over there by the window?
Watching it snow, Martha. Watching it snow.
When the milkman arrived before dawn, he stepped through the piling drifts. Now, almost up to his knees. The snow continued to fall. The wind continued unabated. By 9 o'clock, when Mr. and Mrs. Knickerbocker were at breakfast...
Well, it can't be too bad out. Maybe it just drifted a lot around our place. After all, the paper boy got here.
But look at it. Why, it must be up to your waist by now. What does the weatherman say in the paper?
Clearing and colder, preceded by light snow.
Monday morning. The snow continued. The blizzard raged. Wind, swirling flakes. Predatory gusts. The telegraph wires became coated with tons of ice. And then, under the strain, they snapped.
Look out! There goes another telegraph wire!
Windows were covered with snow, while the wind tore the awnings of stores and dwellings to ribbons. Snow drifted across the sidewalks and streets, obliterating the car tracks. Deeper and deeper it piled, and traffic slowed and began to grind to a halt. First, the loaded wagons.
Yeah, it's no use, Jenny. We just can't go no further.
And then the horse cars. And finally, only the elevated railroads kept traffic moving. And when one engineer, blinded by the snow, crashed into another train... the elevated, too, stopped running. There was no traffic in the largest city in the world. The streets were deserted, except for derelict carriages, abandoned coaches, hacks and cabs, trucks and wagons left in the streets. On the sidewalks, an Indian file procession of pedestrians, in strange costumes, hastily contrived to meet the snow and wind and falling temperature. Some wore blankets around their heads. Some bundled their feet into carpets. They walked silently, fighting the howling wind and freezing snow. They scarcely observed the unroofed houses, the toppled steeples. Here and there, animals had crawled into makeshift shelters, only to be smothered by the mammoth white whirlwind. Children were blown through the air to be buried in 12-foot snowdrifts. Swarms of sparrows beat desperately against houses, only to drop exhausted and be whisked away by the wind. Telegraph wires were down, telephone lines ripped asunder. This was Monday. The snow continued unabated. The wind raged. The blizzard grew worse. New York was cut off from the rest of the world. Trains lumbered to a standstill. None left the city, and few came in. Navigation in and about New York Harbor fared no better. Boats broke from their moorings, were whipped out to sea and lost for all time. Others were washed up on shore. Others farther out in the harbor flew distress signals. But there was no help for them. Tuesday, March 14th. The blizzard still raged. There was no way out of the city, no way into it. Some hardy men began shoveling the drifts.
Look, Jim. Another poor fella trapped under here. Come here. Give me a hand. Oh, the poor duffer. Too late for him.
The drifts continued piling up. There was little food, less coal, practically no milk. Famine had clutched the greatest city in the world.
Daddy will be home soon. Maybe he'll bring some milk with him. Don't cry.
boy. Daddy will be home soon.
Wednesday dawned. The snow finally stopped. People began to burrow out of their homes. And Thursday, one of the most glorious sights the city had ever seen. An old friend returned to the grandest welcome New Yorkers had ever given it.
The sun! The sun's coming out! Well, it's so strong.
And New York began digging itself out. And as the trains began to run and the carts to move, the city found the worst was over. And people began to tell stories of their experiences in the most eventful storm of their lives.
To think that I walked across East River. Now, won't that be something to tell my grandchildren? Walked on a bridge of ice from Manhattan to Brooklyn. Hey, I heard a fella say he walked across the treetops in snowshoes to get home Tuesday.
Well, my father-in-law tried to get across Brooklyn Bridge on foot and collapsed.
No.
Yes, sir. Lucky for him, a policeman got to him. And you know what? They had to rake the icicles from his mustache so the old gentleman could get his breath.
My sister's little boy fell out of the third-story window, landed kerplunk in a snowdrift, and wasn't even hurt. What do you say to that?
And as the city began to dig its way out, it also showed its sense of humor. High atop one of the highest drifts in front of Madison Square Garden, someone had placed a sign. A sign that read,
"Huh? Keep off the grass?"
By the following Sunday, only piles of snow and slush and memories remained of the great blizzard of 1888. It had raged for 36 hours, paralyzed not only New York, but Washington, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia. It had taken 400 lives and countless millions in property damage. And ever since, the people who had lived through the blizzard of 88 told and retold the strange, dramatic, comic, tragic story of the Goliath of all storms. Until December 26, 1947, when sweeping in from the Atlantic came another storm. 99 million tons of snow smothered New York City and the North Atlantic states. But even though this storm was more severe than the blizzard of 88, only 27 deaths were attributed to it. Modern machines, new inventions, systematic precaution, improved means of travel and communication, and of keeping these precious arteries clear, staved off possible famine, freezing, and disaster. Yes, while the blizzard of 1947 was more severe than the one of 88, it was not nearly as great a disaster, thanks to the men and methods of science that have made man's battle with the forces of nature a never-ending adventure in research. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.